You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
You certainly are. A very good evening to everybody and welcome to Bobby Beavers' Racing Roundup. Great for you to be tuning in if you are watching on Facebook Live, or you can also be listening online too at all the www.propersport.co.uk. Right then, what have we got coming up on today's show? You may be asking. Well, Jim McGrath is not in the studio, but not to worry, because he will be with me next week. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Recorded some stuff with Jim McGrath earlier on. He gives his tips for the all-weather marathon tomorrow at Lingfield. Also, the all-weather sprint as well. He's got a tip too on Saturday over in Dubai in the UAE Derby. He also speaks about Alarcam as well, trained by Mark Johnson, one of his horses to follow for the up-and-coming season. He also gives two more horses to follow as well from horses trained in the South. And as I say, we'll talk about him joining me live in the studio next week. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. So it is great to have your company here on the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup. We've got so much to look forward to tonight. As I say, we'll be talking, we did some recorder bits earlier on with Jim McGrath, but also on the show where I spoke to Peter Niven earlier on. He trains Clever Cookie. Clever Cookie returning to action this Saturday at Musselburgh, so I'll be interested to see what Peter has to say. The interview was recorded earlier on. It's a really good interview as well. Peter Niven giving us the latest on Clever Cookie as he returns to action this coming weekend. Also going to be speaking as well to Bill Farnsworth, the chief executive at Musselburgh Racecourse. He's going to be talking about the action on Saturday, and also as well in regards to the situation with Musselburgh at the moment. We'll be hearing his thoughts and opinions about that. And then also tomorrow as well for Good Friday, of course, it's the all-weather finals day at Lingfield, racing at Newcastle as well, and there's also a meeting at Bath. But we will be speaking to Dawn Goodfellow of Racing Welfare, because Racing Welfare, they organise Midland Open Day. That is when your Mark Johnsons, your Carl Burks, your Mickey Hammonds, your Jed O'Keefe's as well, they open the doors to the great British public, and they will be allowing you to walk round their stables and go and see their horses tomorrow. She's going to be giving us all the latest information about that. That is happening tomorrow, by the way, so if you're not doing anything, are you wondering what to do, get yourself over to, or up, should I say, over, up, down, whatever, get yourself to Midland and enjoy Midland Open Day. Right then, first off, we're going to start with Jim McGrath, my very good friend Jim McGrath. This was recorded yesterday, and I was asking him all about the all-weather marathon, which is happening tomorrow at Lingfield.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Okay then, so I'm delighted now to go straight to the line and be joined by former Channel 4 racing pundit Jim McGrath, who's going to be a regular on my show throughout the year. Jim, how are you? Are you keeping well?
Bobby, in top form.
And we're going to have a look ahead to Friday. It's the all-weather finals day at Lingfield. And I suppose, firstly, Jim, I need to get your thoughts about the marathon, the second race on the card, where Mark Johnson is duly represented here.
Yeah, I mean, as we said, we keep an eye on all things, or as many things north on this show throughout the year, but we're looking at racing in general as well. It's not just limited to the north, but yeah, the north has decent chances in this, with Mark's representative Soldier in Action and Waters Meet. Bobby, you'll remember, you spoke to Mark about Waters meet the other day, didn't you?
I certainly did, and he said he feels like the horse is going into the race better prepared than what he was in this field 12 months ago. So you remember 12 months ago, he also ran in this race as well, and he was beaten by Sahibin Soror's winning story on that occasion. But if you look at his last three runs, Jim, you know, he's won his last three at Wolverhampton, Lingfield and Kempton as well. He's in absolute fine form this winter, and Mark seems to feel, Jim, as well, that he's going into the race a lot more better prepared than what he was 12 months ago, and he really fancied him, in all fairness. He's round about the 11-4 mark with the bookmakers too, and I actually agree with Mark, Jim. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I actually agree with Mark, and I think he's got a great chance of winning it this year.
Yeah, he must have a good chance for several reasons. The first one you've outlined, he lines up here in terrific form. I don't know if he was actually in bad form last year. He just got done by one on the day. He's a front runner. Joe's on board, and I think, you know, he's as good a judge of pace as there is riding in Britain. And it does look like he should be able to dictate the fractions he wants because the only other one that might take him on is Soldier in Action, his stable companion, who has been a higher rated horse than Waters, I think, but is arguably not in quite the same form. The big danger to the two of them, I think, is Red Verdon, who's going up in distance for the first time, Bobby, but he's got form over some of these already, like Mountain Bell, for example, of Race Beckett, who's beaten her a shorter trip already. And although you say on pedigree, is there a doubt about him staying, the answer to that is yes. I mean, this horse wanted a mile and a half or an extended mile and a half very early on in his three-year-old career. And considering he's running the likes of the Derby, and now he's back in very good form, I think he's the one that they've all got to beat. If Watersmeet can get a soft lead, he might cope with him. But if you said to me, where is your money going? Yours might be going on Watersmeet. But well, though, he'll run. I think mine will be on Red Verdon.
Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
So that was myself talking to Jim McGrath. Earlier on, we was previewing the all-weather marathon at Lingfield tomorrow. I'm very much in the Watersmeet camp, and Red Verdon is the one for Jim. So we'll be talking more about the all-weather final day, should I say, a little bit later on. We'll be looking ahead to the sprint tomorrow, the all-weather sprint tomorrow at Lingfield. First off, though, as I said earlier on, I was speaking to Peter Niven, the trainer of Clever Cookie. He returns to action this Saturday at Musselburgh, and here's what he had to say. Peter, the reason why I've got you on my show is to talk about Clever Cookie, who's been a grand old servant to you over the years. Firstly, how's he been over the winter?
Yeah, he's wintered okay. Obviously, he's had quite a few issues over the years, as any racehorse would get. He didn't end up very good last year at Ascot, but he seems to have, he was out in the grass for a bit, and he seemed to have come back fine.
And just looking at the form as well, Peter, last year was the first year, if I've got this right, they actually drew a blank, so he didn't actually win last season for the first time. But I thought personally, I was there at Doncaster when he ran in the Doncaster Cup, and I thought he ran an absolute cracker to finish fourth.
Yeah, that was probably his best run, and he also ran really well in the Yorkshire Cup early on in the year, but he was only beat a couple of lengths by the Queen's horse. I mean, he had a bit of an in-and-out year. He's never just... You don't know whether it's age catching up on him or just not feeling 100%, and he'd had a fairly big operation the year before, in the winter of the year before, so he's probably just taken... it's probably knocked him a bit, you know.
And I were going to say to you, you know, he's not getting any younger, bless him. He's now a 10-year-old. Possibly, is this the last season we're going to see him run, Peter?
I don't know. I mean, he'll tell me that. But, I mean, the handicapper still has him rated at 108, which I'm sure a lot of people would love to have horses rated 108 in the yard. So it's, if he can run anywhere near his rating, he can still give us a bit of fun.
And is he all ready to go on Saturday? What stage would you say he's at for his first run of the season?
yeah, he seems in really good nick, and I'm very happy with him. And he's got a shocking draw, which he's got 12 or 14, which he's been plagued with all his life. But other than that, he should run a really nice race. He's obviously got to give weight all round. There's some up-and-coming younger horses, but I mean, he still won't disgrace himself.
I was just going to say to you about the top weight. Is that a bit of a concern in your mind? Because, as you say, he's giving weight away to some younger horses.
Well, he actually thinks it's a lightweight because I ride him out every day and he's carrying a few stone less than he does most days.
Oh, brilliant. And it's good to soft ground at the moment, Peter, at Musselburgh. Ideally, would you prefer it that little bit softer?
I it's ideal. He will go on anything from good to soft. I mean, the softer it is, the more that he'll probably handle it better than some others in the field. But he's also got a big weight, so the better ground, the good to soft might make the weight carrying a bit easier, you know.
And as I say, he's been a grand old servant for you over the years. What's been your most memorable days out with him over the years?
All his wins at York have been very special. I mean, it was great just to have a horse that could compete at York, and then for one that could win, it was brilliant. We've had some fantastic days out there, so that's been great. And obviously his hurdle runs, he's a graded hurdle winner as well. He's never let us down, this horse. He's always been a great fun, you know.
And you mentioned York there again, Peter. So are we likely to see him at York again this season, running in a couple of races?
Yes, I'd like to think so. I mean, the entries for Yorkshire Cup are next week, so hopefully if he shows me enough on Saturday, he will be put in for that. And there's also the listed race that he's won a couple of times. That's a few weeks later. So, yeah, I'd like to think he'll definitely be at York.
So the Yorkshire Cup is going to be the next target for him after Saturday?
Well, no, there's a listed race down at Nottingham in a couple of weeks that obviously that always comes in the agenda as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Well,
it's very much mapped out for this horse. I mean, there's certain races he can run in. There's about 10 every year, and it's quite straightforward, and it's just which ones you choose to run in and ground dependent and things like that.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Peter, thank you very much for your time here on the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup, and we're very much looking forward to seeing Clever Cookie return to action on Saturday. We wish you all the best. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Niven speaking to me there about Clever Cookie, how he's been going on in the winter and in making his return this Saturday at Musselburgh, and obviously the map for him as well. So he's going to go to Musselburgh on Saturday. He did mention there's a listed race at Nottingham which he'll compete in, and then we may see him run again in the Yorkshire Cup. It's a Group 2 race, part of the Dante Festival. It's run on the Friday, and he was victorious in the race a couple of years ago. So we do wish Clever Cookie, now a 10-year-old, all the best going forward. And let's see him win quite a few more races, because I do like Clever Cookie. He's always been one of my favourite horses in training, particularly on the flat. Right then, as you just heard there from the voiceover guy, this is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with myself, Bobby, with Jim McGrath as well. Jim not here in the studio. I caught up with him yesterday. This time we're going to take a look ahead to the all-weather sprint tomorrow at Lingfield. Okay then, Jim, if we have a look now at the all-weather sprint, also running on Friday as well. The North have got a fairly strong hand here, Jim. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is a cracker, Bobby. Nine runners, virtually every one of them in with a chance of sort. As you know, and I think a lot of our listeners will know, it's Lingfield, it's left-handed. The draw's important, it's downhill, it's a short straight. So trouble in running, does make a huge difference to these sprint trips, at particularly at Lingfield. We've got last year's winner, Kimberello, represents Richard Fahey. Catty for Tom Dascombe, who's been in fantastic form. And Intisab for David O'Mara, another horse who lines up at the top of his game. And then outside of the North, We have horses who are again doing well in Atletico of Roger Varian's, a gifted master in particular of Hugo Palmer's, and there's even Gracious John, who was second to Kimberella in this last year, who has good claims as well. If you said to me, you have to have a bet, I would chance one of the Northern runners. Kimberella was a bit disappointing last time. Some of the people that really follow form will say, why has he gone for that? But at Wolverhampton, it was a handicap. He got messed around. He liked a blindingly fast race and to come with one late run, and that's what he did last year. He's at his best on the all-weather, in my opinion. He's got things ideally in his favour, and if he reproduces his very best form, I think he'd go very close.
Jim McGrath previewing the all-weather sprint tomorrow at Lingfield. Right then, from Jim McGrath, let's now hear from Bill Farnsworth up at Musselburgh Racecourse. I spoke to him earlier on today, and he spoke to me about the racing on Saturday and the situation regarding Musselburgh Racecourse in general.
It is a good day's racing. Really good race. You know, flat racing. We've had a busy jump season. Flat seasons come very quickly. I wouldn't say it's been flat racing weather so far, but the track actually looks in good nick. And it's proper flat racing. Got some nice three-year-olds in the Royal Mile Handicap, which is not surprisingly over a mile, so there's always some nice progressive three-year-olds in that race. But I mean, the standout race has to be the Queen's Cup. Which is a big staying race, and, you know, it features horses that will be running in the big staying handicaps throughout the summer season. But I think it's a cracking race because a lot of the horses have good Musselburgh form, quite a bit of hurdle form in there as well. So it makes it an intriguing race.
And it's great, isn't it, for you that you've got really good entries. It's been really well supported, hasn't it, Bill?
Well, it has, and the fixture's in its infancy, so... this fixture really came about because in 2016 it was our 200th anniversary, and the Queen came racing at Musselburgh, and to mark that occasion we asked if we could stage a race in her honour, which is the Queen's Cup, and we acquired the fixture on Easter Saturday because we felt that Easter Saturday needed a good flat fixture, because obviously the turf flat season is now underway, having got off to a flying start at Doncaster. So we felt that it was the natural thing, put on a decent flat fixture to follow on from Doncaster, name it in honour of the Queen, and make it a nice staying race as well, so that we would attract, you know, the type of horses that have run over hurdles at Musselburgh and on the flat. So I think it's an intriguing contest because you've got last year's winner of the Edinburgh Cup, Time to Study, who was a really progressive three-year-old last year, taking on Clever Cookie, who's a battle-hardened 10-year-old who won the Scottish County Hurdle back in about 2013, I think. So you know, it's a real clash of different types of horses, and if you can pick the winner, you'll be doing very well, because it's seriously competitive.
Do you feel the pressure at all, Bill, in getting really good entries for this race? Because, as you say, it's in honour of the Queen herself.
Well, you do, but you can only try, can't you? So we put up the prize money, £100,000, a lot of money, and the BHA help us. You know, they tell us if they feel that the horses will be out there and ready to run. You know, Easter weekend has actually got quite congested now with the good fixtures on Good Friday, staged at Lingfield, Newcastle and Bath. So there's plenty of competition for these horses, but, you know, we've got a good turf track. Musselburgh always produces good ground, you know, at the beginning and the end of the season. You know, £100,000 prize money. It's a nice level track, is Musselburgh, and it's very consistent. So you know, we've got all the right ingredients. You put the race on and, yeah, you hope for the best, really, but you can only try your best. And I think we've been rewarded, but I think the race will only get stronger in time as it becomes more prestigious to win, because owners and trainers do like winning prestigious races. It's not just about the money. So I think, you know, 10, 20 years' time, when this race has become firmly established as one of the big staying races of the flat season, I think trainers will really, really go for it.
And it's interesting there that you say, you know, looking to the future in 10, 20 years' time at Musselburgh. You know, with the current situation at the moment, is there going to be a Musselburgh going forward?
Well, the answer is yes, there will be. There's clearly some tensions at the moment between the council and the non-council stakeholders. And I think it's almost inevitable that we will have these tensions, and it's just that it's come to a head in the sort of, over the past 5 years. I think, you know, the council is very good at running public services, and the non-council people who are involved are very good at running businesses, and, you know, they're very knowledgeable racing people, but they're very, very different types of people, and I think it just creates a tension. And I think the staff at the racecourse, you know, our firm belief is that, you know, the council should concentrate on running public services, and they should allow, you know, people who know how to run businesses and racecourses, leave them alone to run the racecourse. And, you know, like I say, the council do a great job. They've supported the racecourse a lot in the years, and they've contributed to its success. But I think the time has now come for, you know, for a divorce, basically. And as we all know, divorces are never easy things. And I think that's what we're going through at the moment. I'm sure it'll sort itself out. And I'm absolutely sure that Musselburgh will be here in 20 years' time and 50 years' time.
I were just about to say to you there, Bill, as well, are you confident that the issues here can be resolved?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% confident. They will be resolved. I think it's still got some way to go yet. I think there'll still be a few bumps along the way. But, yes, it will be resolved. Musselburgh Racecourse is too big, too important, too fantastic to be to disappear. It will still be here. I have no doubt about that.
Well, we do wish you all the best with that, and I hope Musselburgh, I think everybody in racing will back me up when I say this, we do wish you all the best, and we hope Musselburgh is around for hundreds of years to come. Now, just before I let you go, Bill, because I know you're a very busy man, we know you like your racing, we know you love your racing, and you like to talk about it, so who do you fancy to win on Saturday at Musselburgh, or fancies, should I say, who should we keep an eye on?
Well, I do like Clever Cookie in the big race. I mean, he's carrying top weight, but I was talking to Peter Niven, his trainer, at our last fixture, and Peter, you know, he rode 1,000 jump winners. He's trained Clever Cookie brilliantly, and he knows a good horse when he sees one, and he still thinks Clever Cookie has a big race in him. He's got the perfect draw, number 12. He can dictate from the front. You know, he'll go on the ground. I think it's pretty testing ground, actually, because it's, you know, it's that kind of spring ground. It's not floppy, soft ground. It's fairly, you know, yielding. What I think they call it yielding in Ireland, ground. It'll take a bit of staying on. But, you know, he's an old warrior, is Clever Cookie, and I kind of fancy him to run well. But there's also a bit of... you know, it's a bit personal for me because he won his first race at Musselburgh, which was a bumper. He then went on and won the Scottish County Hurdle. And, you know, he could have been destined for great things as a jumper, but I think Peter Niven probably took the right decision and moved him onto the flat. And he's, you know, and he's been a group performer on the flat so for many years. So I would love to see him. I think he deserves a big race. And I think Peter Niven deserves it as well. So that's what I would like to see.
And I think as well, for the people at Musselburgh on Saturday, I think there'd be a huge cheer if Clever Cookie was to pass the line first.
There would. I think you could say that about a few of the runners, though. But, yeah, I think Clever Cookie would get the biggest cheer. But, you know, you've got Time to Study in there. You've got who won the Edinburgh Cup last year. You've got Carbon Dating, who won the race last year. You got Sir Chauvelin, who we've seen over hurdles at Musselburgh. Mixed Boy, we've seen at Musselburgh this winter. You know, it's a really, really great race. I think the Musselburgh and the Scottish racegoers will really enjoy it.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, Bill, thank you very much for your time here on my show. As always, an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the racing on Saturday, and I hope all the issues get resolved and Musselburgh will be around for many more years to come.
Thank you, Bobby. Good to talk to you.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Great to talk to Bill Farnsworth there. He sounds excited for the racing on Saturday, and he's also confident as well that all issues will be resolved in regards to Musselburgh, and it will be around for hundreds of years to come. Right then, what we're going to do now, as I say, we've been recording stuff with Jim McGrath yesterday, and we've already looked ahead to the marathon and the all-weather sprint tomorrow on finals day at Lincoln. Phil. Jim's give his expert opinion and his tips as well, and I also spoke to him about Dubai, and in particular the UAE Derby. Okay then, there's so much fantastic racing to look forward to on Saturday, Jim, but I believe your main fancy is actually over in Dubai. It's Dubai World Cup night. Are you placing a bet at all on the Dubai World Cup?
Bob, I'm going to have a bet in Dubai, but it won't be on the World Cup. I think that looks a bit of a trappy affair, in all honesty. But I do like the chances of Mendelssohn in the UAE Derby. I was lucky enough last week to be over in Ireland, and I was down at Aidan O'Brien's. We've got a mare who was going to Coolmore Stud, and they very kindly said I could go and watch some of Aidan's horses. And we saw all seven of his Dubai horses gallop, having their final serious piece of work before Dubai, and all seven had a lead horse and went on Aidan's all-weather surface. And other than the sprinter, the other horses did a very sharp piece over seven furlongs, and Mendelssohn was particularly impressive. Even though this is a very good race in its own right, the UAE Derby, he's actually using this as his final stepping stone, hopefully all being well, to the Kentucky Derby, which is run on 2000 Guineas Day, obviously over in America. So if he's going to take part in that, he's got to win this. He's already had one this season. He won at Dundalk, beating two horses that are actually running against him of Aidan's, and they are Sea Engine 3 and 4 Pence. So good horses in their own right. They might run into a place, although Sea Engine doesn't have a great draw. But Mendelssohn looks as though he's got everything right for him. Ryan Moore's on board. I'm surprised he's second favourite. The favourite is Dogtown, a Godolphin horse, Bob, who has won his last two. He won a group three last time out. But I don't think he's run against anything like the calibre of horse that Mendelssohn's been running against. There's an American challenge, courtesy of Rewrite Star, who's trained by Cash Asmussen's brother, Steve Asmussen. But again, I don't think his level of form is anywhere near as good as Mendelssohn's. If Mendelssohn brings his A game to that race, I think he'll win it.
You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Always a pleasure, and great to have the expertise of Jim McGrath here on the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup. He was just giving his thoughts and opinions there for the UAE Derby, which takes place in Dubai this Saturday. He thinks Mendelssohn is the one to win the UAE Derby. We'll be hearing from Jim a little bit later on. He's got two more horses for you to follow as well. For people who tuned in to last week's show, in particular watched his live on Facebook Live on our Facebook page, the Proper Sport Facebook page, you would have seen that Jim did some very short clips for us, and he gave us four northern horses to follow for the up and coming season. This week he's given us two southern horses to follow throughout the year. We'll be hearing off Jim what those horses are very, very shortly. Right then, Good Friday is almost upon us, and it is the Midland Open Day organised by Racing Welfare, and earlier on I caught up with Racing Welfare's very own Dawn Goodfellow. So Dawn Goodfellow joins us on the line now of Racing Welfare. Dawn, thank you very much for your time. How's you? Are you well?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Bobby. Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. Right then, tomorrow it is Good Friday. It's also Midland Open Day as well. Tell us more.
So, tomorrow there'll be 12 of the Midland trainers will be opening their yards to the public. So you get to have a good look behind the scenes at the life of a racing yard, which I think is very interesting for anyone who goes racing, but actually is very interesting and a great day out for everyone else as well. And in the mornings, the yards will be open from 9:30 to 1. There'll be food and gift stalls in the marketplace at Midland and trade stands. And then in the afternoon, we've got activities, some good fun activities, looking at the retraining of racehorses, musical ride, followed by a competition, an inter-yard competition for the racing staff. So they'll be doing some show jumping. There'll be a donkey derby this year as well. All great fun.
And is all the information about it on the website?
It is indeed, yes. So if anyone goes to our website, they'll be able to find all the information they need about the Midland Open Day. You can buy tickets when you get there. So if you follow the signs to the car park, you can buy tickets at the car park, and you can buy tickets at some of the yard gates as well.
And just to make it very clear, is well done, that every penny that you receive tomorrow all goes to the fantastic charity Racing Welfare.
It certainly does. We're the charity that looks after all the people that work in racing. So that might mean helping people who've had physical injuries, mental well-being. It might be people who are subject to some of life's challenges, like bereavement or relationship breakdown, that sort of thing.
Don Goodfellow from Racing Welfare telling us about tomorrow, about the Midland Open Day. I went to it, well, I've been going quite a few times over the years. Went 12 months ago, had a walk round all the yards. It really is a fantastic day for you to go inside the trainer's yard. Mark Johnson's open, Mickey Hammond's open as well. And there's also a variety of coaches and buses that will take you a bit further out of Midland. So you can go to Carl Burke's, you can also go to Jed O'Keefe's as well. It really is a fantastic day there to go and enjoy it. Go and see the trainer's yard and see some real quality horses. It really is a fantastic day. So if you're not doing anything on Good Friday, definitely head up to Midland and enjoy Midland Open Day. It's fun for all the family, and I promise you now, you will not be disappointed. Right then, if you've just tuned in, this is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath. Jim not here in the studio, but have been recording bits with him for today's show, but he will be with us next week live in the studio. So maybe if you wanted to, you could get involved and ask a few questions for Jim along the way in next week's show. Right then, last week you would have seen that one of Jim's horses to follow was a Larkhammer trained by Mark Johnson. He's going to line up in the 2000 Guineas, and a Larkham will have a racecourse gallop at Pontefract on Tuesday. And when I was talking to Jim about this particular thing, we spoke to him about it, Alarcam, and I also spoke to him as well, which he briefly touches upon, and that is the entries for Pontefract's first meeting of the season next week. The entries are out for that, and he also talks a little bit about that as well. Here's what he had to say. Well, Jim, I think what we need to do now is just talk about Pontefract on Tuesday. It's the first meeting of the 2018 season for them. Now, the reason why I want to mention Pontefract is because Alarcam is having a racecourse gallop on that day. And for people who tuned into the show last week would have seen that your, or one of your horses to follow for the up-and-coming season is Alarcam. I suppose the question is, just how special can he be?
Well, as I said to you last week, I mean, as I sit here talking to you, in my opinion, he's the best three-year-old colt trained in the north. And I got a feeling it is possible. I mean, maybe it won't come off, but we could be saying in 3 or 4 months' time he's actually the best three-year-old trained in Britain. Now, that's a tall order, and he's got to improve, but I think he's got a lot of potential. It's a very important day for Mark, because he won't want anything to go wrong. And while, let's be honest, racecourse gallops are to get the adrenaline running in a horse, take him away from his usual surroundings. But the actual work itself is planned. You know, he's not going to work with something that will test him over. He's going to work with something that will just bring him to the next level of fitness. But even so, you don't want anything to go wrong. You want the horse to work well and go past his lead horse. As well as that, Mark, just to mention Ponty, which is the start of a what I'm sure will be another great season for Uncle Norman and his team at Pontefract Park. Mark Johnson has got two runners in the high-rise EBF Novices Stakes, which is a conditions event for three-year-olds, Bob. King's Proctor is one, and Ready to Impress is another. King's Proctor's got the better form so far. So if he ran there, admittedly the horses from Charlie Appleby and Andrew Balding that'll make him go, but he could be an interesting runner for the stable as well. But Alarcum will very much be the focus of Mark's trip to Ponty.
It certainly will indeed. You know, Alarcum, he's going to line up in the 2,000 guineas. It'd be fantastic if he was to go down to HQ and win it for trainer Mark Johnson. He's won it before, and I'm sure he can win it again. So we'll be interested to see how he goes on with his racecourse at Gallop. And also next Tuesday as well, racing kicks off at Pontefract in West Yorkshire. So I know the school holidays are out at the moment, so you could have a good day out for the first day of the new season at Pontefract. Right then, as we said last week, Jim McGraw gave us his top four northern horses to follow. This week, he's given us his top two southern horses to follow. What are you fancying, Jim?
So, Jim, on last week's show, you gave us four northern horses to follow. Is there any southern horses to potentially follow? Is there anything in your notebook at all?
Yeah, it was interesting. One of the listeners tweeted last week, Bob, didn't he, that he would like a little bit more on that front, the horses to follow. I'm a big Camelot fan. I've got a vested interest because my own mare's got a yearling by him, and she's in foal against him. He's a horse I admired a lot. If you remember, he won the 2,000 guineas in the Derby in 2012 and had his first runners last year, and he had 20 individual runners. But at the same time, with Camelot, you always thought that these horses that were showing form and promise last year would be better three-year-olds when they got over longer distances. And with that in mind, I like Baritone of Sir Michael Stout. He currently holds a Derby entry, but loads of horses do at the minute. I wouldn't have thought that was necessarily significant. Why do I like him? He's owned by Michael Tabor. He had one run at Newbury late last year when I was there. I liked him physically. He's a rangy, attractive horse. Behaved very well in the paddock, but he looked a little bit quiet and subdued. And in the race, he just ran on nicely, finished sixth. Ryan Moore wasn't at all hard on him. He'll need to step up a lot on that to, you know, even make up into a good class handicapper. But I'd be very surprised if in time, by midsummer, he wasn't a nice horse. The other is trained by David Simcock. It's a filly called Lady of Shalott. She was a big price when she ran first time out. And she looked green early on in her race at Yarmouth. But she came through strongly and won going away. That, to me, was a very good performance from a filly who, A, is bred to get middle distances, B, with a trainer who's very patient with his horses, and C, having won first time out and overcome inexperience, she can surely only be quite a lot better with racing and longer trips. So there, too, I'm looking forward to.
So, Jim, thank you very much for joining us on the phone. But we need to mention, I'm very excited because next week you're going to be here in the studio with me and by my side.
Yeah, Tom, our producer, did say, Jim, if you don't come in next week, I shall tear my hair out. someone's got to keep him under control and make sure he takes his medication. So, yeah, Bobby, I am coming into Leeds next week. Now, I'm really looking forward to working with you and maybe having a little bit more of a chat than we've managed so far.
Likewise, Jim. Very much looking forward to having you in the studio. So just to confirm for people watching and listening now, Jim McGraw will be in the studio next week. It's sat by my side, and if he's lucky, I might even make him a cup of tea as well. Jim, we'll look forward to it.
Okay, Bob.
Just to emphasise as well, if he's very lucky, I will make him a cup of tea. Right then, that's the end of this week's Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Of course, thank you to Jim McGrath for the previews and also his two horses to follow as well. We'll talk about him very shortly because he will be here next week. Also, thank you to the other people joining me on the show, Peter Niven, Bill Farnsworth and Dawn Goodfellow as well. Right, then next week, there's a little bit of a change because new time next week, we're going to be live at 6 p.m. 6 until 7 p.m. on the Proper Sport Facebook page. You can also listen to us online as well at allthews.propersport.co.uk, and then afterwards the podcast will be available on Audio Boom. If you just type in Proper Sport on Audio Boom, you will be able to find the podcast. And we mentioned it a few times already. We had a little bit of fun with Jim there, but Jim McGrath live in the studio next Thursday. And remember, it's the new time of 6 p.m. So Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup, 6 p.m. next Thursday, and it will be at 6 p.m. for the foreseeable future. Right then, as I say, that's the end of today's show. Thank you very much if you watch us on Facebook Live on the Proper Sport Facebook page. Thank you as well if you've been listening on the Proper Sport website. If you haven't, don't worry, you can download it on Audio Boom later on tonight. But from me, Bobby Beavers, look forward to welcoming you back for next Thursday. Well, I'll be alongside the one and only Jim McGrath. In the meantime, don't go anywhere. Still got plenty of stuff coming up here on Proper Sport. But as for the horse racing, we'll be back next time at 6 p.m.